It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors. Art. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
Station.
Showtime.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go.
Ready. This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Jeff has made a life of being himself, and look what it's got him. He's on a TV show at 12:30. You know what they used to put? Beep at that time.
Jeff Lutz.
Here's why I've gone vegan. It's not really like the milk or the eggs themselves. It's what milk and eggs are put into.
If you ask me, that stuff rots your brain.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
My mind is elsewhere.
Hello again and welcome. It's a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Things don't sound the same when we come into the studio. I got to adapt to that a little bit.
What's wrong?
Just a little different sound coming into my headset.
It'll be all right.
Jeff Lutz with me. I'm Bob Lutz. We are the co-host. Max Power is producing and engineering the show. And he waited until 15 seconds before we went on the air to tell us that... the receiver for Baltimore, Lively, should have been ruled inbounds.
Yeah, Isaiah Likely.
Likely.
He was Lively. If that was the Chiefs, they would have said inbounds.
Not a chance.
No, because they have integrity. And that his toe, while barely... Now, I don't get why the Ravens raised all this ruckus.
I don't get that either. It's clearly on the line. I would have loved for it not to be. I would have loved...
Well, all picked Baltimore.
Not even for that reason. I wanted to see how that two-point conversion would have gone. We would have had some, I guess we had drama before we found out that the ball and the receiver was out of bounds.
It would have been high drama.
Yeah.
But we didn't get to see that. It was a heck of a throw, but you know how he could have made his life easier? hitting wide open Zay Flowers a couple plays before that.
Yeah, but Zay Flowers was kind of
yards behind him.
Well, Zay Flowers was kind of streaking across the middle. It wasn't a good throw, but it also wasn't just an easy throw either.
You know what Lamar doesn't have that Patrick Mahomes does?
What?
Accuracy.
Oh, stop.
It's the truth.
I'm so tired of that argument against Lamar Jackson.
But it's the truth.
I'm with Bob.
That's fine, but I'm over that. Who cares? He's a two-time MVP.
If you watched the game last night, which I don't know that you did.
Yeah, I didn't watch every second of it with you.
It was obvious.
What kind of – I mean, that's where you're going. See, you can't even
I like Lamar Jackson, but he's never going to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Without saying I didn't watch the game when I watched it with you? So how do you
– I forgot.
How do you expect to go around that?
I forgot you were there. I know Shannon came over, your wife.
Oh, stop. See, you've already lost in total credibility by saying, "Oh, I don't even know if you watched it," and now everything else you say is a lie. So go for it.
Anyway, I stand by my assertion. Now, nobody runs like Lamar. He's a fantastic football player, but when you need that pinpoint throw, now he made a good one to Likely, no question about it. And he's not just totally wanting as a pass quarterback, but the reason the Chiefs are going to beat them, and they'll beat them again, is because Mahomes is more accurate.
Great. Mahomes is more accurate than just about everybody.
Right.
But if we're in here downplaying Lamar Jackson at two, I'm not into that.
But when they say, if that's the best you can play, and we played our worst, we'll see in the playoffs. Shut up, Baltimore. Shut up. That sounds so ridiculous because you haven't proven that you can beat the Chiefs. You come close. Pretty much every game in the NFL is pretty close.
I've tried to tell you that for 20 years.
But you don't beat them.
And by the way, 2 years ago, Lamar Jackson was at 67%. Last year, he was at 63. Mahomes hovers around 65 to 67. There's not that much difference between the two of the. And Lamar's a better runner. I'm not going to come in here and Lamar Jackson, well, he's never beat the Chiefs.
You know what I'm going to do?
I'm not going to do it.
I'm going to come in here and tell it like it
is. But you're not telling it like it is.
Max agrees.
Yeah, but maybe it just was a bad game. It was a first game.
No, he didn't have a bad game. Lamar Jackson had a really good game.
Actually, yeah. It was last year that Lamar was at 67. I'm looking at already this year where he's 63 yesterday. So he's the same as Mahomes, a better runner, two-time MVP. The Chiefs are a better team than Baltimore.
And Mahomes is a better quarterback.
Not by much. The Chiefs have better players.
I would take Mahomes all day long.
Great.
Over Lamar Jackson.
That's fine.
And so would you.
Sure, but I'm not coming in here. And
the Chiefs have done is that they've now surrounded Mahomes with this bevy of weapons. So the first time Xavier Worthy touched the ball in the NFL, he went to the house.
Yeah, I was there. I saw it.
He scored another touchdown later in the game. Rashee Rice, who they explained why he's playing with all these charges against him. I'm not sure I get it, but it is what it is. He was fantastic. Travis Kelce's going to slow down, but Noah Gray is right there.
Again, the Chiefs are great.
Isaiah Pacheco, who I happen to have on my fantasy team, is one of the four or five best backs in the NFL.
It's unfortunate we had to start this show by bashing a guy who was an inch or two away from winning that game. Lamar Jackson going on the road and making a nearly perfect pass to win the game, and he's not very accurate.
No, I didn't say that. What he's lacking that Mahomes has is pinpoint accuracy.
Whatever. There's no difference in their completion percentage. The guy's a two-time MVP. I'm just not going to join. I'm not going to jump on that bandwagon.
Well, then shut up and let me talk.
But you're just wrong.
Who cares what you have to say if I'm the one doing the talking?
He's throwing to his best. Zay Flowers is very good. Mark Andrews has been banged up.
Zay Flowers is very good, but they completely took him out of the game last night. He wasn't a factor. The only guy that was a factor was Isaiah Likely.
Right. And did Lamar not
recognize
that and start going to him?
The secondary for the Chiefs was really good. Bateman had a big catch, but that was really the only damage he did in the game. Mark Andrews, nothing. Aguilar, nothing. Derrick Henry.
Aguilar.
They kept him in check. He scored a touchdown.
Well, Derrick Henry's done.
But he didn't have a big game.
He's done.
So I'd give the Chiefs an A- for opening night. They were pretty much everything you thought they would be.
Yeah, again, I was ready to come in here and extol the virtues of the Chiefs. And no question, they're better than the Ravens. Their defense looked really good. Their offense is going to be unstoppable when it hits that midseason form and Hollywood Brown's back. But to start by saying, well, Lamar,
there's a reason Lamar doesn't beat the Chiefs.
I'm going to talk about who won the game.
I've pinpointed what I think it is.
But you're wrong.
Well, then I don't think I am wrong.
Rush, he made a great pass last year to Flowers, who just had the ball knocked out at the end zone. That's not on Lamar.
Look up Lamar's career numbers against the Chiefs.
I don't want to.
Why not?
Because a team is more than its quarterback, and I just don't join in on that stuff. I'm not part of that.
Then you've made that clear, so
not
fine.
Part of that chorus of he's never won the big one. He just hasn't won it yet. Doesn't mean he won't. Doesn't mean he can't.
He won't. He
just hasn't.
He won't as long as Patrick Mahomes is in the league.
Okay.
Because he can't beat him.
Great.
Why are you angry about this?
He has beaten him. He has a win against him.
Why are you so angry about
this? Because I'm just annoyed that you act like this authority. You tried to explain a rule yesterday where you couldn't have been more wrong when you're trying to explain that lining up in the backfield thing. It's just I'm over it. I'm over it.
What do you mean you're over it?
I'm over it.
Over what?
The acting like you're an authority because you talk louder than everybody else. I'm just done with that. Lamar Jackson is an amazing football player, and he will continue to be an amazing football player who will contend for conference championships and MVPs and be a threat to go to the Super Bowl. And full stop, that's where I'm ending it.
He's 1-4 in his career against the Chiefs. That win came when? Back in 2021. In that career, he's at 58% completion rate for 5 touchdowns in those 5 games. I don't know.
Okay.
So he
hasn't played well a few times against the Chiefs. Welcome to every other player in the league. That's why the Chiefs win all the time.
To 1,023 yards.
Because they keep other players from playing well.
He's averaging a little over 200 yards per game in those games.
Wonderful. I don't know. Again, I still don't know quite what point you're trying to make.
Well, I made it.
With these arguments.
You disagree with it. Patrick Mahomes, in his 5 games against Baltimore, averaging 354 yards per game, 72% completion rate, 13 touchdowns.
Wonderful.
Dude, I don't know what to tell you.
Great.
I mean, now you're backing off.
I'm not backing off anything. I'm just, again, 5 games, yes. The Chiefs are better. I've said it. The Chiefs are better than the Ravens. They have proven that. But to say it's just Lamar Jackson's fault or this.
I didn't say it was his fault.
You basically said it was their downfall.
One of the biggest differences in these teams, and there's not a lot, because when they play, it's always close. But there's the difference, in my opinion, is the quarterback.
So that's you're saying that's his fault then?
Well, the numbers bear it out. Substantially even. And I didn't even look at the numbers before I made that statement.
Great. No one's arguing.
72% completion rate to 58 is a big difference. 354 yards per game to 202.
Lamar Jackson big doesn't difference. Throw for 300 yards. He's not that type of quarterback.
13 touchdowns to 5, big difference. That's all I got, man. Congratulations to the Chiefs. Now they get the Bengals coming
in. That's like saying, well, John Smoltz only hit 119, but Mark McGwire hit 380. They're completely different players.
They play each other.
Fine. They're not similar.
They play the same position.
They are not similar.
John Smoltz was a pitcher. Mark McGwire was a hitter.
Okay, Mark McGwire.
Otherwise, your comparison
is spot
on.
Okay, Mark McGwire and Casey Kochman. Do I need to compare their power numbers?
No.
No. Sometimes players are different.
How are they different?
Lamar Jackson is the best runner as a quarterback in the history of the NFL. Patrick Mahomes might be the best quarterback in the history of the NFL.
But when you have to have it,
so
late
far
in the game, like last night, when you have to have it, it's about who throws the ball.
I guess.
Can't run it in that situation. The run's nullified. He can't run.
And Jackson got him all the way down to where they needed
to
be.
And he missed a wide-open receiver before that pass.
That was not an easy pass. It's not like he was camped under there waving his hands. He was streaking across the end zone. And, yes, he missed him. But
by a lot.
Threw behind him as he was running forward.
I just thought the three deep balls he threw were just, if he gets those better, he'll be.
Chiefs defended those well.
They weren't throwing
the Chiefs
well,
are though. Better than the Ravens, period.
And I laid out why I think that is.
And that's your opinion.
I don't think the board you can point at, well, the Chiefs are better in this situation.
I think
the
you
Ravens
can.
Have a heck of a team.
I think 1 through 53, the Chiefs are better.
I think you 1 think versus 1, they're better. And that's not a slam on Lamar Jackson, who's a very good football player. But to get to where they want to get to, they've got to beat this team.
Understood.
The Kansas City Chiefs.
Understood.
And they can't do it.
Oh, please. They haven't done it. It was the first
Boy,
game
you
of the
are,
season.
You're on
well,
a roll
I'm
today.
I'm just not that guy who I'm going to take a small sample and that means everything.
It's not neither, that small of a sample.
Neither of these guys are even 30.
And that doesn't even include the playoff game. This is regular season. My goodness. I thought I had a good point coming
well,
into the
don't.
Show today.
Unfortunately, you do not.
I'd write this column, and people would love it. Would
no.
you be one of those people at home
yeah,
slamming
would,
the newspaper
I would
down?
Say, yeah, I would say that's a lazy take.
Really?
Yes.
Even though when I back it up with all
with passing
kinds of numbers. All kinds of
passing
numbers.
Passing numbers.
No, I'd include the rushing.
No, you
I
didn't.
I said here that there's no comparison between the two as a runner.
Okay, well, then give me those running stats over those
they
five
games.
They
didn't include those here.
Because Lamar rushed for over 100 last night, and Mahomes won't do that all year. Doesn't mean he's not better. It just means they're different players, and their styles are different, and they win different, and they're both great. They're both Hall of Fame talents. They're both MVPs. I'm just not going to go to the side of, well, it's Lamar's fault.
Here's what we have on the show today. At 2:25, we'll talk to Gary Smith from the New Orleans Times-Picayune. He covers Tulane Athletics. K-State on the road to visit Tulane tomorrow in one of the most interesting games, really, in the country. I'm curious to know what Gary can tell us about Tulane as we prepare for that game. At 2:45, Stacy Olden, the executive director of the Wichita Orpheum Theater. Of course, the Orpheum announced this week that they will be undergoing a massive $10 million renovation campaign, and she'll describe that in detail for us coming up at 2:45. At 3:25, Joanna Chadwick joins us from Byte Magazine, as she does each and every Friday. We'll be talking about some of the games to watch tonight. Really the opening night of high school football. There was a smattering of games last night. Goddard Eisenhower beat Valley Center last night in the only area game of note. But we'll highlight some of the big games coming up tonight. But certainly no better and bigger game than night one of the NFL. Although night two looks pretty good. The game from Brazil tonight, Green Bay, Philadelphia, played in a stadium. It's going to be interesting. The first ever, obviously, NFL game played in Brazil. I don't know what to expect. I don't know how the teams are reacting to all this. They've pretty much been holed up in their hotel. I don't know what to think.
Hard to know. I assume it'll just come down to who's better on the field. I doubt that any of the extracurricular stuff over the course of the week or however long they've been there really comes into play. And I like Green Bay, I think, better than Philadelphia. That's why I picked Green Bay yesterday.
Well, that would make sense since you picked them. The Royals begin an important series tonight at home against Minnesota. Meanwhile, Cleveland is playing who?
Dodgers.
Uh-oh.
Got to go through them somehow at some point.
This game could tighten up again.
Could, or it might not.
Although they're pitching somebody named Landon Knack.
He's okay. He's not terrible. He's one of their many guys that they developed through their farm system.
Then Gavin Stone, and then my very good friend Jack Flaherty goes in game three of that series on Sunday.
Tough series for the guards.
We'll see. Kansas City, Minnesota was a chance. Both of those series worth keeping an eye on for sure. We got baseball to watch this weekend and tonight. We've got football everywhere you look. We've got the U.S. Open, which is continuing, although I don't have access to it because DirecTV and Disney still haven't resolved their differences. By the way, can we get that resolved?
Don't you go to the ESPN app and just log in?
No, you got to have your DirecTV log in.
And they don't. Okay, I guess that's fair.
See, this is what I mean. Well, you're younger than me.
Even the app goes dark?
You think you know more than me.
Well, I do.
And you don't.
What is your... Settle down.
I'm not settled.
I know.
It just gets irritating because this is what people my age face every day.
Which is what?
Some young guy.
No, I just would have assumed if you had logged in on the app, it wouldn't have gone dark. It would just be the...
You got to have a provider.
It would just be the cable stuff that went out.
You got to have a provider.
I get it. I guess I won't give you mine.
I don't want it.
All right.
We're mortal enemies from this point forward.
Fine.
You're a hard-headed, thick-skulled...
are you just learning?
Goofball.
Are you just learning this?
And you don't have a clue.
Please.
And you're willing to get on this show in front of these listeners and prove it every day.
I think I articulated what I wanted to say extremely well.
You didn't convince Max.
Well, Max just went with the blanket, is he a more accurate passer?
That's all I said.
That's not really how the conversation evolved.
And that's why he beats him. All right, time for a break. We will break down K-State Tulane from the Tulane perspective with Gary Smith. He joins the show next.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do, without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged
was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Gary Smith, Times-Picayune in New Orleans. Tulane beat writer for quite some time now. Gary, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm starting to wonder. It's been raining here for two solid days now, and it's supposed to get out of the way for game time, but the forecast keeps having the rain leave later and later, so it might end up being a wet football game tomorrow.
Right. That would certainly add a wrinkle. Tulane, yeah, under Willie Fritz has had a really, really good run. He, of course, has left for the Big 12 in Houston. But John Sumrall comes in from Troy, and by all accounts, this program at least hasn't missed a beat. What do you expect from the Green Wave in this very difficult game against Kansas State?
Well, yeah, I mean, they couldn't have made a better hire. Willie Fritz turned around the program and won 23 games in the last 2 years before going to Houston. And guess how many games that John Sumrall won at Troy? Yeah, that would be 23 games in the last 2 years. He and Willie Fritz won one conference title. John Sumrall won back-to-back conference titles in his 2 years at Troy. And not only that, he has experience at Tulane. He was an assistant for 3 years under former coach Curtis Johnson on his staff. So he knows he's recruited the area before. He knows what it's like, and it was a home run hire for Tulane. So there's the total expectation here that the program is going to stay at the level that it has been the last couple of years, and if it's possible, maybe even get better.
So last week it was a blowout, but Tulane scored eight touchdowns, yeah, and they got those touchdowns from seven different players. Is that how this team will succeed ultimately, or was that just because it was a blowout and maybe the rotation, yeah, slims down a little bit?
Yeah, it's hard. You can't really glean a whole lot from playing Southeastern Louisiana, the team that went 3-8 last year in the FCS. I think the rotation will narrow down a bit. I mean, clearly the best returning player for Tulane Community this year on offense was Makai Hughes, their running back. He actually didn't do a whole lot in that game. At Troy last year, their running back led the nation in carries, and Makai Hughes is that type of back. The more carries you give him, the more damage he does, and I expect him to be the focal point of the offense. Certainly not the only piece, but I think he's going to play a much bigger role Saturday and for the rest of the season than he did in opener.
Gary Smith with us from the New Orleans Times-Picayune, covers Tulane. So they brought in Ty Thompson, a former five-star recruit, to be in the quarterback battle. I think the assumption was that he would be the guy. That hasn't been the case. Tell us how that all transpired.
It was quite the surprise. Look, Ty Thompson, he spent 3 years as a backup at Oregon, really only got in blowout when he arrived in the spring. I certainly thought he would end up being being the quarterback. Now, they did have a returning quarterback in Kai Horton, another fourth-year guy who'd started four games over his career and had some good moments backing up. Michael Pratt had started Tulane's bowl game against Virginia Tech last year. And then there's Darian Mensah, a California product, who Tulane offered him right before his senior year. Here are the other two offers he had after that. He had none before Tulane. Idaho State, which had gone 1-10, and Lindenwood. that's it. No other offers. The Tulane staff, they saw him, the recruiting coordinator saw his highlights on Twitter from his junior year, showed it to Willie Fritz and his staff. They were impressed. They went after him. They felt like they had a diamond in the rough, and he just simply won the job in the preseason. Tulane had two preseason scrimmages. He came in as the third guy in the first scrimmage and led touchdowns on both drives. Then they made him the first team guy to see what he could do in the next scrimmage, and he outperformed the other two quarterbacks by a pretty wide margin there too. He's from the Central Coast in California, which is not a heavily recruited area in general, about halfway in between Los Angeles and the Bay Area. He's got all the tools, though. He's 6'3". He has a strong arm. He had good stats as a senior, and he's a good athlete, but he just seems to have that it factor. And look, we're going to find out. Obviously, tomorrow is a much, much, much different test than what he had against Southeastern, but he absolutely earned the job. And it's his now, unless he just doesn't perform.
Yeah, what has Tulane personnel said about the challenge of this non-conference schedule that goes K-State and then Oklahoma, Louisiana, which isn't world, they're not world beaters, but they've been to, I think, six straight bowl games. Yeah. And how crucial is maybe this one to where you can end it 3-1 as opposed to maybe 2-2?
This is a massive game. I mean, because when John Summerall was hired, he said his goal is to take Tulane to the college football playoff and not just to the college football playoff. And obviously that's a possibility now with the 12-team playoff where there's a guaranteed spot for the best, for the highest rated champion of the group of five leagues. It would be a heck of a lot easier to get there if Tulane can beat Kansas State, or either Kansas State or Oklahoma on the road in the next 2 weeks. Obviously, getting Kansas State at home is an advantage. So, yeah, this is a massive game. 2 years ago, that was the turning point in Tulane's program, because Willie Fritz had never beaten Power 5 school in his entire coaching career until Tulane went to Manhattan and won that game 2 years ago. And that let Tulane team know that they could be a championship type team. This team feels the same way. They've got a lot of newcomers, a lot of transfers that came in after spring. They're starting on defense, but they believe they're a championship level team. And the first way to show that is to beat Kansas State.
We got the pregame. We got the game right here on KFH tomorrow. Tulane hosting Kansas State in New Orleans. 11 o'clock kickoff. So Gary Smith joining us from the Times-Picayune. We still don't know exactly what to expect from Kansas State. They also had kind of a breather in their opener.
Right.
But it looks like they have a lot of speed and a lot of weapons, and they love to run it, and they can use several different people to run the football. And then they've also got that Avery Johnson thing going at quarterback. Going to be a difficult offense to deal with. What do you think? What do you think about Tulane's defense?
Certainly. It may be a good thing that Tulane has a new staff on defense, because the kryptonite under Willie Fritz was speedy quarterbacks that could do damage with their legs. Plumlee at UCF 2 years ago ran for about 180 yards on Tulane and beat him. Tulane got him in the rematch in the championship game, but he wasn't really healthy in that game. And Matt Corral at Ole Miss a few years ago just ran wild on Tulane and for four touchdowns. So the eye-popping stat to me, because I didn't know much about Avery Johnson. Obviously, he barely ran because he didn't need to in the first game. But when I found out he came off the bench and scored five rushing touchdowns against Texas Tech last year, he's a handful. John Summerall says they might have to have not one but two spies on him, but he pointed out it doesn't matter if you have a spy if the guy can't actually make the play and tackle him. So I think that Tulane's number one priority going into this game is to try to make sure that Avery Johnson doesn't doesn't kill them with his legs. Tulane has a stout run defense. Other than that, I mean, the only two starters returning from that game 2 years ago against Kansas State are their two defensive tackles, in Patrick Jenkins and Eric Hicks. They're really deep up front, but it's just you don't know how you can handle a quarterback with speed like that until you're actually on the field with them, and you can't really simulate it in practice.
We talked about this a few days ago. My point was, and it was a little bit exaggerated, but I said you don't see Alabama playing road games in the American Conference, and K-State is not Alabama, and this home and home was in the works for a while. But how unique of an opportunity is that? Will we see many Power 5, Power 4 schools at Tulane in the future?
You know, Ole Miss came last year. That was the first SEC school that came to Yeoman Stadium, which is in its 11th year now. But the big, you know, Oklahoma was supposed to play Tulane here in 2021. And then Hurricane Ida happened, and the game ended up, Tulane's home game got moved to Norman. And obviously, then that was their shot there. So they do, this is cropping up now. Yeah, it is, you know, it's a 30,000 seat stadium. It is a little different to get a Power 4 school to come. But again, Oklahoma was supposed to play here in 2021. It's a huge opportunity. Kansas State is the highest ranked non-conference opponent that Tulane has played in the 11-year history of the stadium.
Wow. All right, final moments. Gary Smith from the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. We're here in Wichita, of course, American Athletic Conference. No football here, but certainly every other sport, and men's basketball extremely meaningful here as well as in New Orleans with Tulane. What's the latest on Tulane's aspirations? I've read a lot where Tulane's one of those schools that's maybe looking at ways to potentially get out of the American. What's the latest? And then I'd like your comments on the most recent staff dismantling at Memphis under Penny Hardaway.
Yeah. First of all, Tulane. Yeah, of course, Tulane has aspirations to move out of the American Athletic Conference because, you know, there's no way to know for sure, but it certainly looks there could be a time in the not so distant future where the power conferences break off from the rest and they play amongst themselves, and the so-called little guy don't even have a shot anymore. Tulane's that new athletic director, David Harris, unlike Memphis and some other schools, he says he's not going to make any public comments because he says those things are handled in private. But sure, Tulane, let's put it this way. Tulane is in a heck of a lot better position to make that move now than they were until Willie Fritz turned the football program around in a big way. So let's start there. Sure, Tulane would love to make that jump. Nothing's imminent right now, but if they keep winning on the football field, all of these decisions are based on football. the chances get incrementally better each year for that possibility. As for Memphis, hey, Penny Hardaway, that program, it's sort of like a train wreck that somehow sort of stays on the tracks because he can recruit, that's for sure. you never know what to expect out of that team.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much for sharing your insight into Tulane. That should be a fun football game tomorrow, 11 o'clock kickoff. We look forward to it. It'll be right here on KFH. Gary, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. All right, Gary Smith from the Times-Picayune in New Orleans. We all picked K-State in this one, didn't we, most of us?
I'm pretty sure all of us did. I could be wrong. I don't know. I mean,
I don't know how I feel about it.
It's a tough
pick.
Duda went Tulane.
Duda went. Well,
of course he did.
That's in
He lost his eight already, so he's not a threat this week.
Now, we've added a new wrinkle to our picks. Because we didn't get to pick Michigan-Texas yesterday, and it's certainly worthy of a game that should be picked, we're going to pick it today, but we're doing it a little different.
Okay.
Confidence points are still involved, but it's 1 to 10. How confident are you? And if you don't get it right, you lose those points. So you're putting something on the line here.
A little bit.
And we'll get to that at the top of hour number two. But a little new wrinkle for our picks.
We're going to do that every week?
Yeah, we are.
You're going to pick a different kind of game?
I'll read you a message I got from unknown user in a little bit.
Oh, is he still hanging around?
Yeah, only when he's
motivated to support me.
Oh, really?
We'll talk to him.
Okay, I look forward to that.
We'll talk to him about it in a minute. Here's Stacy Olden, the executive director of the Wichita Orpheum Theater. Boy, what an announcement earlier this week. The Orpheum, which is a landmark here in our community, will be undergoing a big renovation. Stacy, congratulations. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Bob and Jeff, for having me on. It is definitely an exciting time for the Orpheum Theater.
Well, we had you on a little bit earlier, and we couldn't quite go into it all, but now we can. So tell us about this journey to get to this point, because it's been a long one.
It has been a long one. You know, since the theater was saved back in 1984 from demolition, there has been efforts for the last 40 years to get this theater fully restored. And I'm proud to say that, you know, we certainly are standing beside all of those people who have put their blood, sweat, and tears and money and time into at least keeping the theater standing and operations going. And so now we are poised to be able to get the restoration planned and complete.
So I'm interested in the overall history of Orpheum theaters around the country. What can you tell us and our listeners about that? And also why Wichita's has survived for over 100 years and why it's important to our history?
Sure. So back in the, late 1800s, early 1900s, there were over 100 Orpheum theaters built in the United States. And they were built basically for the vaudeville circuit. And there were different groups of vaudeville circuits. So you had kind of your Midwest region, you had your East Coast, West Coast. And a lot of these operations were kind of managed and run by different groups of people. But of course, all the theaters were built by different architects. So, of course, like I said, at that time, there were over 100. At this point, now in 2024, there are only 17 Orpheum theaters that are still standing, that are still in full operation. And the Orpheum Theater is one of those 17. So it's pretty exciting that we're part of national history, the piece of for us and why we've still been able to stay in operation, I believe, is because at one time downtown Wichita was a thriving community of theaters. I believe we had over maybe about 20 theaters in the downtown area. And it wasn't until the Miller Theater, which is just was just a block away from the Orpheum, one day citizens just woke up and the theater had been torn down and now it's a parking garage. And I do believe at that time that was really when the energy and the focus turned towards the Orpheum Theater and said we can't let that happen to this theater. And that's really when the engagement of saving the theater took place.
Stacy Olden is our guest. She is the executive director of the Orpheum Theater in downtown Wichita. Massive renovations about to happen. So you're going to shut down the theater for a year, starting in the spring. I'm executive director of a nonprofit. Of course, we're different, but I like the different things I get to think about when it comes to nonprofits. I'm sure you're thinking about a lot of different things, too. Are you thinking about who you're going to bring in for the grand opening act?
Man, that
was my question.
We probably talk about that on a daily basis. It seems there's always some names that pop up here and there that the team has a desire to see or thinks the community would definitely be interested in seeing. So, yes, we certainly have. And just as a not really a correction, but we are closed. It will be closed in the summer of 2025, not spring.
Okay.
So we'll have shows all the way through May of next year.
Okay. Well, technically spring goes into June, but yeah.
And it does, yeah.
It's,
it does, you're right.
I did hear a rumor that Don Henley was being pursued.
Yeah, he'll be 89 by then, but you never know.
Well, there you go. We'll add that one to the list.
There you go.
So what exactly is the renovation process? What will the theater look like when it's finished? And how are you keeping kind of the community updated on its progress once it begins next year?
Sure. Sure. So we are definitely looking to bring it up to what it looked like, as much as we can anyway, from 1922. So some of the areas that have already been restored, like our box office and our concessions and the foyer, it'll look very similar to that. And the colors basically the whole auditorium where everyone sees when you come in up to the stage. So the floor, the seating, the plaster walls, the ceiling, everything is going to have a completely new look that does harken back to 1922. So you'll feel like when it was built, it was created to look like a Spanish courtyard, more or less. So an Andalusian garden, if you will, is what they called it. So the architect, John Everson, wanted you to feel like you were outside. You're transported to another place. And so we'll have the night sky back in full force. So it'll feel like you're outside when you walk in. So that's really our goal, is to create that same feeling, the historic piece of it, but then also to bring the theater up to all the modern technology with the sound, the lighting, and keeping the acoustics, of course, that are already really, really well done from the time of inception up to now.
Talking with Stacy Olden from the Orpheum Theater. So what's behind all the windows on the higher floors of that building? What is up there? Does anybody ever go up there? Is it off limits? Tell us. I've always been curious about that.
You know, the windows that you see off of First Street, several of those windows are actually from the women's restroom. So when you go, which is probably why you don't know where they went to.
that makes sense.
And then we have a couple that are on each stairway. So if you go to the upper balcony, too, as you walk to the upper balcony stairwells, you'll see those. The higher ones at the very top, those are actually our projection booth windows. So all of those are in use. There are a few, of course, in the women's restroom that can't see from the inside, but you can still see them from the outside.
So it's all part of the theater.
It's all part of the theater.
I wanted some story about a haunted house or something.
Right. Sorry. You know, we do give ghost tours. I know we'll have a couple of those coming up, so you're more than welcome to join us for
those. So before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about what are some of the upcoming shows at the Orpheum. We're always curious about that. You have an eclectic way of getting performers. So who are some of the people you have coming up?
Well, we have coming up actually this month, towards the end of the month, we have the Magic of Motown. So that's going to have some performers bringing in some great music from that time and that era. We also have a Celtic Thunder production that will be October 4th. And, of course, that's going to bring in some great Irish music. And gosh, through October, I can tell you, we are just packed. November, we're very busy. December, we've got some great Christmas shows, holiday events coming up. The Grand Kiev Ballet for the Snow Queen will be in November. Jim Brickman is coming back to the theater December 5th. Girl Named Tom is doing a Christmas special, and they'll be here December 6th. So we have just got a full slate of events coming through October, November, and December. So definitely check out our website. And just quickly, I do want to go back to what Jeff had asked about how we'll be keeping the community informed of what's going on in the theater during restoration. So we will definitely be keeping the public informed of progress with the restoration through, of course, all of our socials. We're hoping to have a little viewing area that we can do some happy hours, some maybe first Fridays, and let the public come in and kind of get a peek through at the construction and how it's looking. So it's our goal to keep the community as involved as possible, and so we will definitely we might be dark, but we won't keep the community in the dark. So.
Well, one of the great venues in Wichita, about to get even better. Thank you, Stacy, for coming on and telling us about it, and congratulations.
Thank you, Bob and Jeff. I appreciate the time and
Thanks.
Having me on.
Stacy Olden from the Orpheum Theater here in Wichita. I'll go ahead and read what what our very good friend, Unknown User.
Whatever.
Who's been following us for years.
Well, great.
Big fan of the show, and I hate to say it, big fan of me. Here's what he says.
And I'll preface this. I don't know what he says, but I will say that a lot of people, when you're listening to sports talk radio or watching one of those morning shows, everything is, you're expected it to be put in black and white. This guy is, he can't win the big one, or this guy's this, and it's just no room for any kind of nuance. And I'm sure that's basically how Unknown User took our opening conversation. So go ahead.
Why are you getting so defensive?
I'm not. I just know how this goes.
My goodness. Can I take that knife out of your back? Here's what he says. This year's Ravens team lost some talent, but still comparable to the Chiefs. Last year's Ravens were considered an all-time great team by advanced analytics. The analytics he provides, they were considered the third-best team of in the NFL since 1999. They were, by advanced analytics, way better than the Chiefs were. The Chiefs have the QB and coaching advantage, no doubt, according to Unknown User.
How do you figure that's support of you?
So there you go, Unknown User, who will remain unknown for as long as
takes like that, he should.
Well, now you don't need to insult our listeners.
Well, is he listening? Or
you
is
know
he
what? Any listener,
taking morsels of...
Any listener in this audience can disagree with me at any time.
Sure.
And they'll have a soft spot to land
Well,
in.
That's not true for me. Disagree with me, I'm coming after you.
You can disagree with me to your heart's desire.
I can't.
When we come back, we will explain a new wrinkle to our picks that we've added. And we'll explain that to you, and then we'll give you an additional pick for each of us, which could be fun, or it could be debilitating, depending on if you get it right or not.
Never know.
Back in a minute, hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
We're getting Ricky Skaggs on this show.
Remind me?
You really don't know Ricky Skaggs.
Jeff Lutz.
Son of the late, great Bob Skaggs.
You're funny.
I'm so funny, it's almost hard to bear.
97.5 in 1240 KFH.
I am so totally turned on right now, I could
Sounds
speak.
Like a damn monster movie.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting Max Power, who's headed out on a two-week vacation. Andrew Fry will be taking over for him. He's sitting over there taking things in today.
He looks good.
Let me just say this, Andrew. Do your damn job. I'm kidding.
What does that even mean?
It was a joke. Do you ever just play along?
Is it funny?
Max, did you like it?
I'll laugh at jokes that are funny.
Andrew, what do you think? Andrew didn't take it personally. We look forward to working with Andrew the next couple of weeks as Max heads to the ocean.
All right, well, Andrew will not talk on the air. He just said that.
What do you mean?
He just said that.
Well, that's fine.
So we can't go back to him in the studio for anything.
I might. And if I do, he'll be a pro and answer me.
No, he won't.
Thanks to the people at Bob and Luigi's in Andover for bringing out some pizza for us before the show today. We really appreciate it. Really good pizza. So we hope you'll be hearing more from Bob and Luigi's.
Wouldn't that be great?
I think it would be. So we looked at our picks. We didn't get to pick Texas-Michigan. We had intended to, but Duda had missed the message on that. So we didn't get to pick it. So I had this idea today. Man, that's a pretty good game to pick. How would we do it? Well, what we've decided to do is throw that game in there, and you get to pick it, but you pick it for from 1 to 10 points. And you could lose that many points. So if you miss the game, you lose that many points.
And it's still against the spread.
Yes. So the spread is 6.5 in favor of Texas. And, Jeff, who are you picking in that one?
I picked Texas.
And for how many points?
If it was not a scenario where I would lose points. Well, obviously, I'd go 10. But it is, and I don't want to lose that many points, so I put it right in the middle. I'm really confident about this game, but I also...
So is there any game you'd go 10 on?
That's a good question.
As we get later in the year, people will start to do weird things.
You never know. But yeah, that's
especially
very
those
plausible.
Of you who are always trailing.
But I went with Texas. I think Texas is far better than Michigan this year. That game is at the Big House in Ann Arbor, so give whatever advantage you feel is necessary to the Wolverines.
All right,
I'll
just wanted
Texas
your pick
for
Max.
Five.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm with Jeff. I'm going Texas. New coach in Michigan. New quarterback. Too much turnover. Texas for four. So I'll lose or gain four. There
I like I like Texas more than both of you. I'm willing to put more on it. Although just I'm going Texas for seven. As is the big fella Anthony. He's picking Texas for seven. Now remember, the new twist here is, if you don't get it right, you lose that number of points.
That's correct.
And Duda, of course, being Duda, is going Michigan for six.
Strange.
Why? I don't get it.
He overthinks this. It's, to him, these lines that aren't really that dangerous. Texas is going to win this game by a touchdown. I don't know how you could arrive at any other conclusion, but to Duda, it's all about those points, and it's... And he overthinks it, and I don't understand why he overthinks it to the degree he does, because I thought he watched sports.
Well, he does watch
and
sports.
And I thought he'd be able to discern, after all these years, which team was better and by how much. And usually,
well,
those things go hand in
hand.
He's
just not very good at picking games, for whatever reason.
It is bizarre.
But he's ahead of me right now, so I don't really have a leg to stand on.
And he ended up with 20, which is very good. But Baltimore for 8?
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore, that game was going to be close.
I picked Baltimore, too, but I picked it for 1.
Well, he almost got Baltimore for 8.
Well, there's a lot of almost in betting, and that's why those lines are what they are. But he did not get it.
Boy, you rub me the wrong way at times.
Why?
I don't know. Just some of the things you say.
Is that sealed?
I'm going back to unknown user.
What does he say?
It's just more support for me.
Tell him to. I'll be here after the show. Tell him to bring your ID and we'll hash it out.
Bring your ID.
Yeah,
what does
I'm not
that
gonna.
Mean?
I'm not gonna sit here and argue with the unknown anonymous. Guy, bring your ID. Let me see who you are, and then we'll. And
why
then we'll
why
get
are
after.
You doing that? Because that's one of our very first supporters.
You think
for this
he's
show.
Not enjoying this right now?
No, he hates.
Can you imagine?
Here's what he said to me: "Tell your son to shut his mouth."
Yeah, I bet.
No, that's what right here.
Yeah, right off the your feed.
Oh my goodness! So much fun.
Why?
The buttons, we talked about it the other day. Max agreed.
I push
just
yours
so
just
many
as
buttons.
Easily.
Tonight, Green Bay, Philadelphia. That game on Peacock.
Yep.
Exclusively on Peacock. I got Cardinals to watch. You got Guardians to watch. It gets a little more complex.
Well, I got Guardians late.
Yeah, they don't play till late. But the Cardinals play, the Cardinals are... I can't give them up, man.
Well, then don't.
How does a guy do it?
Who do they have this weekend?
Seattle at home.
Oh, you should breeze through that.
No, they got good pitching.
They don't hit.
They don't hit, but we don't pitch. So we'll see.
Something's got to give.
Are the Cardinals going to end the year like on a deep? They don't really have a very tough schedule left. Are they going to end the year?
No.
They're two games above 500.
Whatever the question is, the answer.
No, I'm going to ask you. I want your opinion, and I want
They'll
you to think for
be...
once instead of just react, because that's really all you do. You just shoot from the hip. Everything you say is just a scattershot.
Wrong.
So here's their schedule: 3 at home against Seattle, 3 at home against Cincinnati, 3 on the road at Toronto, 4 at home against Pittsburgh, 4 at home against Cleveland, 3 on the road against Colorado, and 3 on the road against San Francisco. They are currently 2 games over 500.
They're going to finish either 2 games under, 1 game under, 500, 1 game over, or 2 games
over. Why would they not have a winning record against this remaining schedule?
It's not that easy of a schedule.
They just faced the toughest part of their schedule.
The last time you played Cincinnati, and they swept and you. They 12-8. Okay.
Against the Brewers, Yankees, Padres, you name it.
You know what? Congratulations.
They just went 12-8 against the Dodgers, Brewers, Twins, Padres, Yankees, Brewers.
Right. And when you're perpetually 500, you're going to go 12-8 in some stretches. You're going to go 8-12 in some stretches. You're never going to get too high. You're never going to get too low. So I'm going to take the first 5-plus months of the season into account and tell you that it's very unlikely that anything's going to change with your baseball team.
What if they stay hot? Are they, you know,
hot?
They've been fairly hot. Yeah, they've against this group. I mean, these are all teams that are going to be in the playoffs.
Okay, well, they still only come out of it 2 games over 500. And
no, they were 12-8.
But they're 2 games over 500 on the season. So I just think that's what they are. And I'm pretty sure that's what you there's 22 games left.
No, I feel like there's some potential
here. They'll probably
go
about 10-12, 11-11, or 12-10. And
what if they go 15-7?
They won't.
Well, what if they do?
Then maybe you're in the playoffs. But again,
I don't think they're going to be in the playoffs.
Won't. Does 86 not get you in the National League?
I don't think so, because the Braves and Mets never lose. But we'll see.
They are playing well. The Braves and Mets, I'm talking
right.
about.
I'm a realist, and I'm not playing okay. sitting here at all thinking,
never lose.
Could the Cardinals get into the playoffs? That's not my point. My point is, how many games above 500 could they push? And if they do that, do people...
You and the Cubs...
Are people satisfied to some degree?
You and the Cubs and the Reds, you're not playing for anything. So... Great. If you play better,
then why do I watch?
When the season?
Why do you watch? Why did you watch the Guardians all those years?
What years?
When they were terrible.
Name the years they were terrible. Since I've been a fan.
Since you've been a fan, every year.
Yeah.
Most years.
Try me. Well, then name some.
I don't know. They've been not very good at times.
A couple times. But for the most part, they've been good. The Manny Acta years were lean. Those were bad. But then they brought in Francona, and they've been good ever since. They were good under Eric Wedge for the most part. They were good under Charlie Manuel. They were good under Mike Hargrove.
Well.
So I'm not sitting here celebrating a 500
season. When did you become
season.
A fan?
94.
94, they were 66-47. Then they were pretty good for a while, over 500 every year. Until 2003.
They had a good 04.
They weren't very good in 06.
But then they had a good 07. And
they weren't very good from 08 to 2012.
AKA the Manny Acta years, which I said. And then they've been good ever since.
How do you deal with a team that's never won? That's what I'm asking.
We win plenty.
I wish you'd just give me an honest answer.
My fandom of the Cleveland Guardians has been well more positive than negative.
More positive?
I've had far fewer losing seasons than winning seasons. I've been to the playoffs a bunch, and I don't know how the season's going to turn out on September 6th. Does that mean I'm not going to root for them the rest of the year because of what might happen? That's not what fandom is, my friend.
Well, I think you got to root for them. But, you know, we'll see what happens tonight out on the West Coast. And the Royals play a very interesting home series against the Minnesota Twins. And that's one of the few division races in baseball that's still pretty intriguing. Baltimore and the Yankees battling it out in the East. You still got three teams in the hunt in the Central, although Cleveland's had a good week. Seattle still within striking distance of Houston, which has suddenly gone a little cold, but the Astros still with a 4.5-game lead. Then you've got Philadelphia, which is 8 games up on Atlanta and the Mets. Milwaukee, which has wrapped it up in the Central. And it looked like the Padres and Diamondbacks were going to be right there with the Dodgers, but L.A.'s gotten hot.
They faded a little bit. Still hanging around, but running out of time.
L.A. is starting to get some healthy pitching back.
We basically know who are going to be the 6 teams representing the American League.
Yamamoto about to come back for the Dodgers.
Whatever.
Walker Buehler's been back. They've traded for Flaherty. Gavin Stone's been very good, young guy. So their pitching has
stabilized.
Improved. And I wouldn't want to play him.
No one's doubting the talent.
And you got to play him.
And the success. Everybody has to play him.
Well, you got to play him right now.
We got to play him right now. We're playing him tonight through Sunday.
When the games are the most meaningful.
And then you know what happens? We go play the White Sox. So whatever happens against the Dodgers.
What did we learn on the show yesterday?
We're going to get right.
With Scott Merkin. What did he say?
5-5. I understand the Guardians, for whatever reason, have somehow struggled at times with the White Sox, but that's over. They will not lose a game to the White Sox.
Well, they shouldn't. Is the game, are those games in Chicago?
I don't think so.
If I was a team that was 5-5 against maybe the worst team,
I'm not looking about where our games
history,
with the White Sox are.
I'd be checking out where these games are.
We could play those games on the moon for all I care.
It would mean everything in the world to me.
They're in Chicago.
Well, there you go.
And then 12 of the final 15 games of the season are at home.
Big day of college football tomorrow. You can hear Kansas State Tulane right here on our airwaves on KFH. And then the Chiefs, obviously, will be off until next Sunday when they host the Bengals, another powerhouse from the AFC North. That'll be interesting.
It will.
See what the Cincinnati Bengals can bring.
Bengals?
Bengals. Playing. What's the matter with you?
What do you mean?
What'd you say?
You said Bengals.
Bengals.
You had a real long E there.
The Bengals.
You said Bengals.
The Bengals. See, this is the kind of guy you are.
No.
So last night we wondered why they were calling all these offensive line.
And you were wrong about your explanation.
And I gave you what I thought it was.
Okay.
I didn't know. What am I?
Well, I knew what it was. I'm just not sitting.
I thought it was based on the NFL wanting offensive linemen to not have an advantage.
That's what it is. But you said something about the defense, and it made no sense. I know why.
I just offered an opinion. But here's what you did, and you think I didn't see you. You got on your phone, Google, offensive line. I'm going to prove my dad wrong.
What did I say?
The most important thing to me in the world, in all of life.
What did I say afterward?
The most important. Yeah, I know you didn't say anything.
Nothing.
But the most important thing.
And it wasn't. I don't care about why they're calling the rule. That wasn't my point. My point was, I'm not sitting down to watch this game to watch them call Ronnie Stanley in the backfield by half an inch.
Well,
I don't care.
A point of emphasis, so you better get used to it.
Well, that should end.
But it was interesting to watch you go right to your phone.
No, I didn't care about the rule.
And you didn't think I saw it.
I was on my phone a lot. I know you.
You do this all the time.
No, it's so. I knew why the rule was in place, because you can't let the offensive linemen start too far back, and then they're already kind of like ready for the defensive pressure. Obviously, that's the rule.
All I said.
But when you're lining up, I mean, it's a dumb rule if you're going to call it that.
That's all I said.
Right down the line.
We'll take a break. Joanna Chadwick joins us next from Vibe Magazine, as she will every Friday during the high school sports season. We got some big ones tonight in high school football. I like following it I like getting on my Twitter feed and seeing what's going on. That all begins tonight. Joanna Chadwick next.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday. So, shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bobapedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Whether you're firing up the grill at a local bistro or uploading your next viral video, there is one thing every business owner has in common. You can't afford to be offline. If you are connected, you are making sales, talking to clients, or managing your team. That is where Spectrum Business comes in. They keep businesses of all sizes connected seamlessly with fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi, phone, TV, and mobile services. You need technology that adapts as fast as you do without breaking your budget. What really sets Spectrum Business apart is their commitment to being there when it counts. They offer 100% U.S.-based customer support, available 24/7. They're ready to help you stay up and running. It's no wonder millions of business owners rely on Spectrum every single day to power their dreams. Get the reliability your hard work deserves. Visit spectrum.com/business to learn more and find a package built specifically for your business needs. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas. Visit spectrum.com/business for details.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
KFH. Here is Joanna Chadwick representing Vite Magazine, one of our great sponsors, the high school football preview, Vite Magazine, sitting here on a table. Very good. Joanna, hello. You're in Kansas City as we speak.
I am. I'm up here with some students at a yearbook conference. So I'll be missing the opening night, but, you know, that's my real job is the teaching portion. Yeah. So.
Well, there you go. Let's talk about some of the games of note. Derby on the road at Hayes. Now, that's an interesting game. I'm always curious to see who Derby can schedule in the non-conference. They're going out to play at Hayes, which has had a good program of late in recent years. Is this a dangerous game for the Panthers?
Well, I think anytime you go on the road against a team that you haven't played, I mean, I couldn't tell you when Derby played Hayes, but it's been a very long time. And I think anytime you go on the road, it's going to be difficult there. It's going to say an awful lot about when you make that long trek out there. It says a lot. But, you know, this is what Derby does, too, is that, you know, they've started off with some awfully tough games in the past, including Manhattan for the past few years, and don't always win those games. And yet they still end up in the state championship game or playing in the semifinals. So I think having that kind of a test is going to be really important. And I think we're going to find out a lot about this team tonight, because going into this, it was down to Drew Kemp or Aiden Heckathorn as to who is going to be their quarterback. I think we all know Arius Finley will be at RB1, but who was going to run the show, and will they stay with them the whole game, or will they try to give minutes to other guys? I mean, they're kind of loaded at that quarterback position.
So tonight we have Bishop Carroll Northwest in the City League. And we talked to Dusty Trail yesterday, and you have to read between the lines, obviously, but he did not sound as if this would be the year that Carroll gets back to contending for a state championship. So it might be fair to expect another big Northwest win tonight. What are we going to do if that first game of the week, which we get, or the first game of the year, which we get every season, Carroll and Northwest, is no longer the barn burner we expect it to be?
Well, and I mean, it happens, you know, it, when you're in football, is that we can usually count on the same teams every year who are going to be strong, but it does happen where there's those downtimes. And frankly, Carroll's numbers have not been what they were in previous years, you know, where they did put out those same kind of numbers that a Derby did, that Andale did, and their numbers are low, and they have a very small senior class this year. But they have a lot of young guys, and I think that it will be exciting just because the rivalry is so awesome. But you've got Northwest, which is going to bring its own exciting brand of football, which we all enjoy watching. So I don't know. I mean, will it not be a barn burner? Okay, but it's still a heck of a rivalry, which makes it painful and exciting all at the same time.
Talking now with Joanna Chadwick, Byte Magazine. So another game that's intriguing to me. Wellington coming to Wichita to play collegiate. Wellington's opens with collegiate and then Andale. They got to work on that schedule making. But they lost to both teams last year pretty soundly. But Jeremiah Meeks turned it around. They had a pretty good season. They did get walloped in the playoffs by Wamego. Can Wellington take that next step? Because that is a tradition-rich program that's not had a lot of success recently. Are they a team that maybe could start to inch up?
Well, and I don't see why not. I mean, I always feel like Wellington is there, you know, and maybe it's just because we know, you know, the tradition of the program. Maybe we understand that and how long they have had a lot of talent through there. But I think that that these two tests will be very good for them, and that they will help them later in the season. Because, you know, I mean, losing to Wamego, there's no shame in losing to Wamego. And there's also no shame in struggling with two opponents like this in Collegiate and Andale. Collegiate's going to be tough to beat, though. They are very talented, and they've got guys who are healthy, which I think makes a difference as well. So maybe Wellington won't walk away feeling great after these two games, but I think later it benefits them.
Is Andover Central, we know that Aquinas has moved back up to 5A, so they won't at least have to deal with them in the postseason in the state championship game if they get that far. Is Andover Central that type of team again that can get back to that level? And what do you make of their opener with Hutchinson tonight?
Oh, wow, that's a lot there to unpack. I mean, like 14 things went through my head during your question.
Say them all.
Because, I mean, you're literally talking, okay, yeah, Aquinas is back to 5A, but where's Miege?
I feel
I mean,
you.
Miege, yeah, I mean, Miege is a team that you have to contend with. And what other team just dropped down from 5A? Well, that's Capen. So I don't think life is any easier for Andover Central, which has continually been a team that has battled for a state title. No, they haven't won it. But, yeah, they faced some incredible teams in that process. But that is a team that returns a lot of talent. A lot of those guys I also watched during basketball season last year, too, when they weren't supposed to be very good. And yet these guys are gamers. They're dogs. And so I would imagine that Andover Central will push to get back into that title game. But it's not going to be easy.
Yeah, Andover Central at Hutch, as Jeff said, that's one of the big interesting games of the year. That Andover Central, their offense with Jace Jefferson has to be, I think you have to consider him, if not the top quarterback in the area, certainly in that discussion. And that offense overall is dynamic. I hope they can find a way. You know, it is tough with Bishop Miege up there, but we'll see. What do you make of Cape and Mount Carmel dropping to 4A? It's just kind of weird to me. It's strange that their enrollment has fallen to that level. We had Weston Schartz on a little earlier. Do you think they've got another team that can threaten?
Well, let me ask you this question, and I don't actually know the answer. Is it that their enrollment has dropped, or is it that there's so much growth in the northeast part of the state that there's just not enough room for them in 5A anymore?
That may be it.
Yeah, and that's what I assume it to be. But again, I don't actually know the answer to that. It is weird having them in 4A, and I do think that they're going to be a contender because they continually play teams that with bigger populations than them. And I think that obviously Weston Sharks is one of the best coaches in the state. I think that they will contend, but you know, you also have some sort of drop off from the talent that they did graduate. So it'll be interesting to see who pops up there as the players that we're going to be talking about going forward. But yeah, they drop into 4A and immediately they're a team that we have to talk about will play for a state title.
I have my eye on Cheney Holcomb, not because I think Cheney will lose, but I think when you're that good and as good as Cheney is and a lot of other teams in the state, you just have so few games where you'll really learn anything about what they have. And Holcomb is a team that usually, you know, wins a playoff game or two and kind of hangs around. Is that anything? Is that a game?
Why not? I mean, I'm with you, Jeff. I will look for any time that you can have a matchup that is even going to push a team. And I bet you know darn well that's what every coach is doing, is that how is this team going to push us? And I talked to a coach this year, and it escapes me as to who it was. But we talked about how every game is so different. The different types of offenses that we see out there now, I mean, you're constantly having to change your defense and have your guys prepared for every game. There's so much versatility that is necessary on teams just because they're not able to, you know, you're not facing, everybody's not doing the exact same thing in every single game. And so when you see a team that's going to push you, you know it's going to help you down the line. And so you have to get your team ready to be able to handle that, not only now, but how are they going to handle it down the line?
Joanna Chadwick with us. We're visiting about high school football. Let's talk about Conway Springs, which, by the way, won a state championship last year under Matt Beeler. They play in a league that includes Garden Plain, Medicine Lodge, both teams that have very high hopes. That Central Plains League just continues to be impressive to me. And Conway Springs has done this now for a long, long time. Matt Beeler deserves credit as one of the area's best coaches.
Well, and let's keep in mind that in those years where they ran off all those state championships in 3A, and then continually as their population dropped there, and yet there doesn't matter what level they're at, they're still continuing to be one of the top programs in where in the league and in whatever class they're playing in. And I think that sort of, I'm using this word again, but versatility is really important to note because Conway has had to adjust to that, is seeing these new opponents, is seeing the different level of what they're going to have to, and then you get used to playing teams and now you don't play them anymore. But I think playing in a league like the Central Plains also really forces you to prepare yourself for a variety of offenses and defenses as well. And then Garden Plain, you know, they come away last night with a big win, which is always good to see, and just kind of going to show us that, yeah, they're a team we're going to have to watch too.
Well, it's always good to catch up with you. We will be back in touch next week, and we expect you to be at a game next week. Okay, Joanna?
I will be at Derby next week, I promise.
Derby campus? Oh, my goodness.
Well, you know, again, I my love for football connected to yearbook and newspaper advisor.
Thank you, Joanna.
Bye, guys.
All right, there you go. Joanna Chadwick with us each and every Friday. The IHOP hotline, which is 869-1240, as you know, sponsored by IHOP. You can visit IHOP and get all-you-can-eat pancakes through the 15th of this month, so still 9 days left in that promotion. Also, all the baseball and football coverage you hear on KFH is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Horizon. Use our savings calculator to find out how at tmobile.com/switch. Now, that's a promo.
What do you mean?
Oh, I don't know. I thought I did that well.
Yeah, he said Horizon instead of Horizon, but yes.
Horizon. I'll take whatever I can get. See, that's you.
Yeah, it is.
Why are you like that?
Well, I had to bring you down a peg because you were a little, you were feeling yourself a little too much right there.
If I want it to be Horizon.
It could be Horizon, sure. I bet they don't have great service.
I don't have Verizon.
I do.
I have AT&T.
I have Horizon, and they do great.
Maybe I'll switch to
T-Mobile,
whatever it's called. I still haven't fixed my screen.
Why not?
I don't think it's the screen. I think it's the covering.
We already debunked that.
So you think I should take it to that store out on Mays Road?
If you want. It's your phone. You can do whatever you want.
What do you got planned for the weekend?
The kid's coming home. I don't know what we're going to do.
What are you going to do tonight?
Tonight? Probably just hang out.
Won't she be home tonight?
Yeah, but we won't go do anything.
That's because you are so tied into, I got to watch SmackDown. I got to watch The Guardian.
I don't know if I'm going to watch SmackDown.
I got to, instead of taking the kid out.
Well, I invited the kid out to lunch today. She said, no, I'm going to take a nap instead.
Well, what does that tell you?
I don't know.
What do you think it tells you? It
tells me she's tired, I guess.
Where would you have taken her to lunch?
Over to Yokohama.
Where's that?
Central and Woodlawn.
What, do they have great rice or something?
They have ramen. And I tried some ramen that I never would have ordered. I just, I'm not going to do the usual. And it was so good.
What was it?
It had, shrimp pot stickers in it and corn. It was just unbelievable.
I don't know if I'd like this.
And now I'm going to try another one someday.
I don't know if I'd like that.
So good.
Shrimp?
Shrimp pot stickers. I don't know if they were. It's weird.
What is that?
It's a pot sticker that I guess was supposed to be shrimp flavored. I'm not sure.
Well, what else do they have?
They have all kinds of ramen. And they have rice.
Some chicken ramen?
Well, yeah, they have. If you can, I assume, get just about whatever you want.
Well, if I went there, what would I order?
Well, the ramen is the noodles.
What would I say? I want some chicken ramen.
Well, you'd find something on the menu that appealed to you, and you'd order that.
But what would I say at the counter?
There's no counter. Sit down place. What's so funny,
man? Sometimes I get caught up in all this.
Well, Yokohama, I was a fan.
It's just enjoyable to play along.
Absolutely.
And it's at Central and Woodlawn.
Yes.
So kind of on my way home.
Could be.
You know what I'm hooked on now.
But you can't really order takeout from there because it's difficult.
Really?
You can't really see what you're getting. It doesn't really explain what the dishes are. It's really a go-in place. Unless you're a veteran and you already know what you're getting. I didn't. So I had to figure it out.
You know what I'm hooked on now? One of the salads at Doc Green's, the Ranchero.
What's that got?
It's kind of a barbecue chicken and some, Mexican stuff, corn and black beans and salsa, although not really salsa. I get Dorothy Lynch dressing on mine.
What's that?
It's kind of like French dressing.
Hmm.
But I'm salivating just thinking about it.
You going with that this evening?
I don't think so. But I like it quite a bit.
What will you go with this evening?
I don't know what I'll go with this evening.
I don't either. I got a couple meals from Dinnerly still hanging in the balance.
Have to get home and see what my wife thinks.
Tomorrow's box from Dinnerly, unbelievable. Can't wait to make that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I would hope you'd do something with your daughter this weekend.
Well, I'm talking about next week when I'm making, well, I'll be working a lot. But we'll see how it goes.
Final Wind Surge series of the year.
Correct.
Next week at Riverfront Stadium. And that'll be it because they're not going to be in the playoffs for the first time.
Well, they didn't make it last year. They missed it by a game.
Oh, they
didn't? No.
Thought they did.
Well, now that you say it, it seems like maybe they did, but I'm 98% sure that they didn't.
I could have sworn they did.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, maybe, you might.
Maybe Tim Grubbs is listening and will let us know, but I'm pretty sure they didn't because they lost all their players. They kind of made a run, and then it ended up a game or two short. That's but, how I remember it, but you know my memory is nothing.
I just got followed by someone on Twitter. Don't know who it is. Some person, probably a robot. They say they're from Oregon, Ohio. Have you ever heard of Oregon, Ohio?
I sure haven't.
And their tagline says, "My marriage has been hell for the past 8 months."
That's too bad.
Thoughts?
I wonder why.
I don't know.
Maybe he's from Oregon and Ohio. But there is an Oregon, Ohio population, nearly 20,000. Who knew?
Wow.
Out in, it's on Lake Erie, out in Lucas County, suburb of Toledo.
Have we lost all concept and ability to control social media?
I don't know what you're asking me.
Well, that.
But I don't understand the question.
Have we lost our ability to control it? Because none of these people that follow me or anybody are real. A few are, but not really. I mean, it's all just a bunch of...
Yeah, most of you get the spam accounts. That's kind of what happens since Elon took over.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Twitter is no fun. I don't even know why I have my guards Twitter account.
Why do I have
that
Twitter?
That just makes me upset, too.
Here I go. Max doesn't have it. He's living a great life.
One of the best. He's headed to California.
Going to the ocean. Here I am. I'm so hooked on it, I can't hardly breathe.
I get it. But what are you? What
I'm not, and I'm not at a. I'm not an addict. I've not been hooked on things.
Well, is that
for
true?
The most part? Yes, that's true.
I'll have to think about that.
Well, go ahead. What's something you think I've been hooked on?
I'm not sure, but I think there's. Maybe it's not a bad thing. Maybe it's not something, a vice like it's bad. You're addicted to whatever, working hard. Well, I don't know.
I like to work, but I don't think I'm addicted to it.
I don't think you are either. I was just throwing that out as an example of maybe something that, you know, isn't going to put you in rehab.
I've never been addicted to alcohol. I've certainly drank my fair share.
You came close to the edge a couple times on that one, didn't you?
Never addicted. Never addicted to any kind of tobacco product or any kind of drug.
Same.
But I feel like there's a near addiction to Twitter.
You got to have your fix.
I got to do something about it.
What are you going to do, quit cold turkey? I don't think that's going to work.
This told me I was on my phone for 6.5 hours a day average last week.
Craziness.
What's going on with that?
That's like half the time you're awake at least.
So what's going on with that?
I don't know.
How much are you? You're on your phone more than I am.
I don't let it tell me how much I'm on my phone, so I don't have to feel terrible about myself.
It tells me every Sunday morning.
I turn that off. But that's just me.
Here's your report for the week. It ought to just say, you idiot, get off your phone.
6.5 hours. Goodness.
I'm not denying it.
That adds up, man. Those 30-second scrolls you do through whatever social media thing.
And you're on your phone more than me.
Nah.
Completely.
I'm going to burn my phone. How about that?
All right. We appreciate all of you for listening. Max will be out the next couple of weeks. We wish him a great time away. He doesn't take much time away, so we hope he has a good time. We'll be back here on Monday. Have a good weekend.
The road to the MLB All-Star Game presented by MasterCard starts with you. Who will take the field this July? The power is in your hands.
Phase one of the 2026 Konami eBaseball MLB All-Star Ballot is open. Vote up to five times daily for your favorite stars. And get a bonus daily vote by downloading the Konami eBaseball MLB Pro Spirit game. Top vote getters advance for the chance to be a starter. Cast your ballots at MLB.com/vote. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's really refreshing!
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.